So what was the inspiration behind Summer of Secrets?
I'll back up a little bit further in that Summer of Secrets is the second in the School 26 series.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what we're trying to do is play with the concept of social engineering, which is something that teenage girls do a lot of. They're really into it. And, you know, other ways of describing that is kind of gossiping or manipulating or that kind of stuff. But we don't see it in a negative light. We see it more positively that, you know, teenage girls spend a lot of their time just figuring out the social interactions between people and that those are really great skills. And they can be used, you know, beneficially or they can be used harmfully, but they're really important skills to develop. And so we're playing with that concept. And in School 26, we introduced an emoticon system where you could use an empathetic response to move the gameplay forward. And in this game, we're using secrets in that way. So it's kind of a neat concept. You can trade the secrets and sort of help the situation along, or you can give them to the wrong people and then it doesn't help the situation along. So it's an interesting thing to play with, and it's kind of a lot like high school.
Yeah, absolutely. I think regardless of if you're a teenage girl or, you know, a 20-something guy or anybody that's just, you know, playing something on their iPad or their iPod Touch, this is something that is interesting. I mean, because in a way, it's kind of like it reminds me of those old stories that you would read when you were a little kid, like turn to page 55 and continue the story this way. I mean, how long did it take you to put the story together here? Because that's where the bulk of the action is.
Yeah, it's very narrative. It didn't take us too long, actually, because we knew the characters really well from the first game, so it kind of unfolded a little bit more easily than the first game. And so I guess the first game, it took us maybe 4 months or so, and this one was a little bit shorter, maybe 3 months. So, yeah, not too long. I mean, I'm from the console world, so to me those timelines are, like, ridiculously small and wonderful. I'm used to building games over 12 or 18 months, and it's great to be able to build product more quickly. I really like the smaller games because you can be so responsive to the people who are playing your games. You know, we've got a lot of young women who follow us on Facebook, and they give us feedback about the games, and we're able to take that feedback and include it in the next product, and that's just, it's really fun.
Yeah, what do you think of that? I mean, a lot of iPad games over the year and change that the iPad has been out, they've updated and they've been able to add extra levels and extra content, and that's something that, you know, the console world is still, like, kind of getting a handle on. Do you enjoy having that kind of quick turnaround?
I love it. I absolutely love it. What's really neat about it is that you're in more of a dialogue with your consumer. And as a game developer, you know, it's so neat to know how people feel about your game. You know, this days have passed when you build it and ship it and kind of hopefully the sales will reflect that people like it. Well, you know, you never really know. But today, like the way that it's going with School 26, we have almost 4,000 people on our Facebook, and they talk to us a lot and tell us, you know, things they liked or didn't like and make suggestions. And, you know, we actually do take some of those suggestions. Like the game that we're going to work on next is largely a result of how people responded to the last two games. So it becomes way more of a dialogue, and we find it a lot more interesting and fun actually to build in that way and to be able to include the content that the girls are asking for. And it's particularly interesting for us because we're trying to build a different kind of game. You know, these games are fresh in a way because we're playing with new concepts on what girls might want in a game, you know, and we don't know if we're going to get that right or not. So our chances of providing a high quality product and getting that right increase when we're able to have a conversation with the people we're trying to serve. So it's kind of cool that way.
Do you find it more difficult to create these games considering, you know, you're marketing towards teenage, you know, women? I mean, that's something that really hasn't been done in video games.
Yeah, well, you know, I was a teenage woman and I have a teenage daughter, and the gals who are working for me are just, a lot of them are just barely out of teenagehood. And we have, you know, lots of testers who are teenagers. And so it's actually a lot easier space for me to work in. You know, I used to build MLB games and I don't even like baseball. So, you know, is it easier? Way easier, way easier. On the other hand, you know, this type of game hasn't really been done before. So we're kind of inventing it as we go. And that's interesting. What we're trying to do is really instead of building games that have kind of always been done and reiterated and redone, often better and better and better, what we're trying to do is really ask the question, what do women and girls want, and how do we figure that out? Because we feel like the games that have been offered women and girls historically haven't necessarily hit the mark. Like, some of them have, but much fewer than for guys. So we're sort of playing with the idea of, you know, how can we figure that out? How can we find out what really connects with women and girls? Not just, you know, superficially by making something sparkly and throwing in a pony, but in a deeper level, you know? So we're exploring, and it's pretty neat.
So what have you learned through that exploring? I know social media obviously plays a role in that, but how else have you learned about that?
Oh, it's been really fascinating. I'll give you, basically what we did, the first 6 months that we were in business, my partner Christian Forbes and I just spent 6 months reading absolutely everything we could find on studies of how girls game and how women game, and preferences and differences in style, and, you know, our connection to narrative and all that kind of stuff, and women in technology. And, you know, there are all these schools around that do game studies, and they have been for 20 years, like all over the world, you know, just like there's film studies programs, there's game studies programs.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a hold of a lot of this research, and some of it is on gender, and it was just fascinating. So we did a ton of reading, and we built what we call the Girls Gaming Bible. And basically it's the result of all of that research pulled into one place. And now what we're trying to do is take the theory and apply it to game design. So easier said than done, but I'll just give you an example. Like, one of the things, this is out there already, so I'm not giving away the secret sauce, but just to give you a sense, the kind of thing I'm talking about. So there was this one really interesting study that showed that one of the differences between the way that men and women, their minds work, is that women have a strong ability to be able to discover items in a cluttered space, whereas men are find that more challenging. And I laughed when I read that because, you know, I've got two teenage boys and a husband, and they open the fridge and say, "Where's the ketchup?" And I'm sitting at the table 20 feet away and I can see it, right? And it's just funny because I think, you know, everyone has stories like that. And the reality is that's actually, you know, it's a biological difference. It's something in the way that our brains function that, you know, cluttered spaces, we can dig around in them better. Probably goes way back to the days of hunting, gathering versus, you know, being out there in the plains and gals being in the tent or whatever. But the reality is there is a difference. And what's interesting to me about that is that a lot of women love hidden object games, and guys connect with that genre much less strongly. So that's not, you know, by chance. It's actually, you know, there's science behind it. So it's just very interesting, you know. And so what we're trying to do is try to discover other links that maybe haven't been explored quite so thoroughly yet. And that's what's kind of driving us, is to try and figure out what other things we might really groove on. Another example is that women do really well with moving targets. Sorry, pardon me, with still targets. So, you know, we're really great at biathlon and that sort of shooting, but mm-hmm. we're less good at moving targets. Guys are really good at moving targets. And that's interesting too, because when you look at, you know, third person shooters, primarily those games are consumed by men. So again, there's a scientific reason for that. So it's just interesting stuff.
Absolutely. Considering that you have this background in console gaming and the fact that, you know, the Summer of Secrets title, I mean, it uses the touchscreen, but I think it would be relatively simple to, you know, translate that to a console game. Would you ever have any intentions of maybe throwing that on, like, the Xbox Live Arcade and seeing, you know, just how much the title would stick with the, you know, the female market?
Yeah, if the female market was on Xbox Live Arcade, I'd be all over that, but they're not.
Ah, see, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we're watching that space really carefully, because I love the downloadable content movement, and we're console people, and, you know, I like console gaming, but most women, and again, you know, you kind of have to be careful when you're talking like this, because I don't want to leave out the people who are really into Xbox, and there are gals that are really into Xbox, and there are gals that are really into, you know, that play like crazy on PS3, and that's great. You know, there's a whole range of people, but when I'm talking about, you know, women generally, I mean kind of the majority. And what we see right now is on PlayStation, it's between, the last time I heard it was 13% female audience, and Xbox was a bit lower than that.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, so I'm watching those numbers carefully because I'd really like to build for both of those markets, but hopefully there'll be more women moving over there. And I think that's really possible, you know, because gals are just really getting into gaming seriously now, you know, because of the access through, you know, the Wii and, you know, how great the smartphone games have been. And so I think a lot of gals are kind of just being introduced to gaming, and they might migrate over to consoles. So I'm going to watch that, and if that occurs, then we really want to be in that space.
Okay, how do you think Summer of Secrets stands as far as compared to some of the other games on the iPad? How proud are you of what you guys put together?
I'm really proud of it, actually. I think what we've done is very unique. It's an extremely high-quality game. You know, I think our quality bar is unparalleled, really, in terms of, you know, just it's not glitchy in any way. It's very well designed. It's very thorough. You know, it's a bunch of really well-trained developers from the console space coming in and taking a good shot at iPad and iPhone games. So I think it's gone really well. You know, there's certainly areas for improvement. And, you know, for me, that's more about, again, playing with what girls want and really trying to understand that space. The gals have been telling us, for example, that, you know, a disappointment for them is that there isn't dating available in the game. Wouldn't it be fun if you could, you know, date? And, oh, okay, that's cool. So probably our next game, we're going to have a lot of dating in it because that's what gals are asking for. And it's not something that we necessarily thought of. It's more, you know, again and again and again, we're seeing this on our Facebook comments. So we'll do that.
Okay, I love the pause menu in your game, just how you're able to kind of go through your phone and go through the quests and things like that. And right off the bat, I had no idea that you guys had console gaming experience. And right off the bat, I said to myself, wow, this is really deep for an iPad game. Are you guys looking to continue that to say, like, you know, there is no real difference between an iPad game and a console game, that they're actually, you know, a lot similar?
You know, the reality is we don't really know anything else. I mean, we've all built really high-quality games in the console space. My business partner, Kirsten, who's our executive producer, has 12 AAA-level games that she shipped. She doesn't really know how to do it any other way, you know? So that's just going to be the way it is. And we're establishing ourselves. What we're trying to do is brand ourselves as high-quality content for women and girls so that we will have a brand that if anyone, you know, is looking for a high-quality game, and particularly for the female audience, they'll know that they can play a Silicon Sisters game and get a high-quality game, and we'll never deliver crap. So that's really the way we're positioning ourselves in the market. And, you know, our games are a little bit more expensive to build because we have really, really good people working on them. You know, my engineers are all from EA. They're all really, you know, high qualified, well experienced people, and they'll continue to build really high quality product. That's going to be the market we're after.
Okay, just for someone who's listening to get a better idea of what you guys are all about, what are some of the games that you guys have put together in at other locations, at other publishers?
So for myself, I ran a studio called Deep Fried Entertainment, and we built four of the MLB games for Take-Two on DS and on Wii, and then we built a game for Sega and Sony for the PSP called Full Auto 2, which is a racing title. That was a really fun game, actually. That one came out in 2009. And for Kirsten, oh, her list is really long. She worked on the Crash Bandicoot series for a long time, the CSI games. She was involved in Prototype. Yeah, she's got about 12 or 13 games to her credit and was executive producer at Radical Entertainment, which was bought by Activision and, you know, oversaw a 350-person studio. So really experienced, really, really deep roots and lots of award-winning games. So I think also Homer Simpson's Road Rage and some other titles like that. So just lots and lots of deep experience, and now trying to, you know, apply that experience and credibility to the female gaming space and improve the quality of games that are out there.
Okay, great. I'm happy that you mentioned Crash Bandicoot because I think every female that I know has played and enjoyed Crash Bandicoot at one time or another. It's just a game that, you know, women seem to gravitate to. Considering that, are you guys interested in possibly releasing a platformer one day that kind of adheres to, like, those rules that you've come up with in the Female Gamer's Bible?
Yeah, you know what? We're not making decisions based on kind of genre of game as much as we are kind of what mechanics make sense for which age group of women we're targeting for. So it's a little bit of a different angle that we're going on. So every genre is something we'll consider. It depends on what age group we're going after and what we think the game mechanic that most connects to them is going to be. So it's a bit of a different angle.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to say about the game or your company that we haven't touched base on yet?
No, I'd just say, you know, we really love hearing from people. So if folks want to jump on to our Facebook, School 26 is our Facebook page, and also Silicon Sisters. And the more we hear from people, the better quality our product is going to be. So we just love that conversation. If anyone wants to get involved in it, we'd really welcome that.